to the house to thank you, Jesus. Coming to the house to thank you, Jesus. Coming to the house to thank you, Jesus. You're blessed. That's the truth. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Who knows? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we just stop real fast? Just real fast, real fast, real fast, real fast. Can we stop and just acknowledge the Lord God? Can we stop and acknowledge the Holy Spirit? We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling the environment, filling the atmosphere where we are. We quiet ourselves, hallelujah, in this moment to receive your truth. Thank you, Jesus. We ask that you would forgive us our sins, those known and unknown. Lord God, we ask, Father God, that you would purify our hearts and our minds, creating us a new heart. Lord God, renewing us a right spirit, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for opening our minds. We thank you. We ask for wisdom on today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, as we come before you, Lord Jesus. We know that as we come before you, Lord God, every need that we have, everything that we come with, Lord God, whether we are articulating it or not, every heaviness, every weight, we come, Lord Jesus, knowing, hallelujah, that you, Lord God, are going to move in that place, and that you, oh God, are going to answer, and that you, oh God, are making it straight, and you, oh God, are doing, we believe, miracle signs and wonders. And so, God, we thank you for this word. Hallelujah. We thank you for this daily bread. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Shatare bagandala. Thank you, Father God. And during this realm, I came across the meaning of Joseph. Hallelujah. So I want to turn to Genesis, because what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time with Joseph on today. Amen. We're going to take our time as much as time will allow. Okay. And examine and glean from the story, from Joseph's story, amen, and what God did with Joseph, and how God was always there with Joseph, amen. And so when I came across the meaning of Joseph's name, which is, Joseph means God increases, or he will add. Amen. Joseph comes from the Hebrew verb yasaf, Y-A-S-A-F, and it means to increase. And when I read that, I just heard the Holy Spirit that God is increasing us. Amen. God is adding unto us. The Bible says that we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. Amen. And I just found it interesting that Joseph, having this name of increase and God adding unto him, but it didn't always look like that for Joseph, amen? And there were some times with Joseph where there was some subtractions happening, amen, and some betrayals happening, and some misfortunate situations happening, yet his name means that God will increase, God will add. So as we go into the story of Joseph, be encouraged, amen, through his story. Matter of fact, grab a pen, grab a notebook, a piece of paper, amen, and write down, let's get sensitive to write down what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, okay? Yes. But sometimes and all the time and oftentimes, I don't know, we see the situation, and we feel the situation, and we hear the situation, amen, and then we believing, maybe stop believing what the Lord is saying, or it becomes now impossible, and that's not what we're going to do in this hour. What we're going to do is believe the truth. What we going to do, somebody say, what we going to do, what I'm going to do is believe God. Amen. So I'm going to start Genesis 30, 24. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is increasing me. God is increasing. God is adding unto me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Genesis 30 and verse 24 reads, and she named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. And she named him, saying, the Lord add me none. Father, you are this message. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking the lead. And I and all who are hearing, seeing, or following your lead in Jesus' name. And she named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. Who is she? She is Rachel, amen, Joseph's mother. But even Rachel, hallelujah, had a situation where she needed to believe God for. Even Rachel, Joseph coming into life was a situation where God used barrenness and broke the stronghold of barrenness, amen, in Rachel, in his mother, hallelujah, to come forth, amen. So just even the circumstances that surrounded his birth, Rachel was the wife of Jacob, and Jacob, who was, he was told, his mother told him to go to the land of her family, amen, to get a wife. I mean, yes, to get a wife. And when he went, he came upon his uncle Laban, and he worked for Laban. He said that I will work for you 7 years for your daughter. And in that process, he was tricked, amen, and he got Rachel's older sister, Leah, amen, and then he had to work another 7 years for Rachel. Leah started having babies. She was not the one that was favored by Jacob. Jacob favored Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel more, yet Rachel was barren. Hallelujah. Rachel was favored, but barren. Amen. And so then finally, God remembers Rachel, and he opens her womb, and here comes Joseph, and she names him Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. So even that just speaks to where we see where God works and how God likes to work. And he likes to work in those barren places, those dried up places, amen, those dead places, those impossible places, those places of it's over, those places of I don't think that's gonna happen, amen. That's where we see, if as you go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you see that's the type of environment God worketh in. That's where we see the glory of God at work in the bestest. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And so now we have Joseph who, if you turn to chapter 37, he's favored by his father the way his mother was favored by his father, her husband. Amen. Hallelujah. And as he is favored by his father, he's hated by his brothers. Come on, somebody. The favor of the Lord brings jealousy, raises up jealousy with people, friends, maybe within family, maybe within strangers, maybe. And you wondering, well, what? I didn't do anything. Why they hating on me? It's because you're favored. Somebody say, I'm favored. Amen. Amen. So I want to look at some of the facts with Joseph. I want to go through Joseph's life so we can see that how his name means God will add, God will increase, yet we see in the natural it's nothing but bad on bad on bad on bad on bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Father God. He's so favored by his father that his father gives him a long robe with sleeves. In the NRSV, it says, it's a robe of many colors. Amen. And so when his brother sees that, it makes them hate him even more. Amen. Then on top of that, God shows how his Joseph is 18 years old. He gives him a dream, and in verse 37 and 5, it says that Joseph, he has a dream, and he tells his brothers, amen. And when he tells his brothers hate him more. Hallelujah. In the dream, basically, he says that, matter of fact, I'm going to read it. He said to them, listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us? So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. Then he goes and he has another dream, speaking of this with the same interpretation, how he's going to be the head and his brothers and family will bow down to him. Amen. And it just speaks to what God is doing in his life and how God is exalting him. Amen. And God exalting. And what happens is that sometimes, maybe all the time, maybe when God exalts us, there's a humbling that happens first. Okay, there, God causes us to see the little first, amen, so that we know that it is not us that got us to a certain point, amen, that got us to a certain level, but that it is God. And we always remember that it is him, amen, that put us on this platform or this level of success, hallelujah, and that we are all to always give him the glory, mm-hmm. So let's look at Joseph. Somebody said, God is adding unto me. We're going to say this the whole time. There's power in our words. We're going to declare this the whole time. God is adding unto me. God is adding unto me. God is increasing me financially, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically. Amen. God is adding unto me. Mm-hmm. So Joseph's father tells him to go and check on your brothers. So Joseph went after his brothers, doing what his father says do. Amen. Hallelujah. That, what does that look like for us today? It could be stepping out on faith. Amen. It could be starting and thinking that things are just, okay, this is it. It's going to be good. It's just going to flow. Amen. Then it turns anticipating. And when Joseph comes up on his brothers, they plan to kill him. And so in verse 19 of 37, they said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come on, we don't get there. We got to go slow. Sometimes you got to go slow. It's like a little slow dance. You got to take your time with it. You got to take your time. So verse 30, chapter 37 and verse 19, they said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. They couldn't kill him. Amen. They couldn't kill him even though they wanted to. That speaks to, can nobody stop, amen, what God has put in you and what God is doing with you? Can nobody say no to you when God has spoke a yes regarding it? It does. They may try, hallelujah, but it shall not prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. Come on. So then he has Reuben kind of sort of having his back and say, well, no, let's just throw him in. Let's throw him into the pit. And his plan was to go and pull him up out of the pit when his brothers run around. But just so happened, these Ishmaelites in verse 25, they come and their brothers see them, and the Ishmaelites, they were traders. Amen. They sold like gum and balm and resin, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. So they sold him into slavery. So now we have Joseph. And I forgot to add that he was stripped of that robe of many colors that his father gave him. He was stripped of his robe. Now we have him. He was thrown into the pit. Amen. Now he's sold into slavery. And you know what that reminds me of in the 2022? It's like, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Amen. It's things, it seems like it's getting worse and it's getting better. Hello? And all Joseph did was step out on, okay, I'm just being obedient to my father. But even in the midst of that, so now he lands himself in Egypt. And even in the midst of that, we see God in the shadows. Come on, somebody. We see God moving in the shadows. God may not always be outright in the front in the way that he moves. Sometimes he steps back and he's behind you. I'm reminded of the children of Israel, amen, as they walked through the wilderness, and how when the Egyptians were coming after them, he moved behind. He was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then he moved behind them, amen. And he was a protector so that the Egyptians couldn't come up on them, even though in their natural eyes it looked like they was coming and they was gonna get them. Come on, hallelujah. So I want us to be mindful of also and see and be sensitive also to see God moving even in this. The Bible says that as their brothers sat down, looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Just all of a sudden, these Ishmaelites are coming. No, this is God moving in the shadows and moving Joseph into his purpose, even when the natural conditions speak to the opposite. I just want to slow down in this moment to that moment, to that knowing, to that understanding of that God is still working. He is still moving. He is still a present help. Amen. He is still with us. He, although he may not, in some situation cases, be the loudest, the Lord says that he speaks in a still small voice. Sometimes it is him speaking in a still small voice, moving in a still small. So Joseph, his name, God will add, God will increase. Yep, we see subtraction. We see division, him being separated from his father, him being stripped, amen, of that robe of many colors, hallelujah. But I even hear the Holy Spirit say that no one can strip you of your anointing, and no one can strip you of your talents, and no one can strip you of that which God has graced you with and blessed you with, amen, hallelujah. And circumstances can't strip you of that. In the midst of a pandemic, it caused you to be the most successful you could have ever even imagined. This is possible. Hallelujah. So although his name God will add, God will increase, we don't see that happening. But yet, if you look ever so carefully, you see God in the background. They couldn't kill him. Amen. They couldn't keep him in that pit. They can't keep you down. Amen. Hallelujah. They can't keep you in bondage. You can't stay in lack. You can't stay in trouble. You can't stay in strife. You can't stay. God won't let us stay, amen, in that dark place, in that depressed place. God won't let you stay in. Come on, somebody. Oh, shut up. So now he is sold into slavery, and I want to read, amen, listen, I want to read 39, chapter 39, and starting at verse 1, it says, now Joseph was taken down to Egypt. Mm-hmm. We just talk about he's taken down. It's just a loss, a deficiency. Amen. It's negative. Amen. On negative. Amen. But listen, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptians, not Joseph. Listen, the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. He blessed him blessed the Egyptians for Joseph's sake, because he said, Joseph, I have you here. This is where you're going to be for a little bit, but I'm going to take care of you by adding to the people around you, amen, so that as they flourish, you are. Come on, it's an indirect blessing, and what does that feel like even in this day? Sometimes, because that's not a blessing always that you feel, and what happens is you see like other people around you prospering, but yet you kind of still in the same place, and you see other people around you successful and getting answers, but yet you still kind of just like, oh yeah, you know, it's a steady pace. It's little successes. Like somebody gave me a $25 gift card to Starbucks. Come on, somebody. Or like something where you be like, oh, thank you. But you still are aware, amen, that you need like $1,000, or you still are aware of your physical condition. You still aware of this, the bigger picture. Come on. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what the Holy Spirit also told me? That we need to make sure that we have people in our life where we know the Lord is with them. I want people in my life where I know the Lord is with you. I don't want people in my in my life where drama is with them and negativity is with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. We just gonna be right there on that. Mm-hmm. But they knew that the Lord is with him. So I think that, you know, just having that treasure, they took care of him because they know, listen, what you always hear, I'll get blessed. It reminds me of Jacob, Joseph's father, that when he was working for Laban, Laban says that he, through divination, that's what the scripture says, that he come to realize that he was prosperous and blessed and having so much success because of Jacob. And even in that time when Jacob was serving Laban, Jacob wasn't experiencing that success. Come on, somebody say, but your time is coming. Somebody say, but my time is coming. Okay? Ooh, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 So we see that Joseph, he got a little bit added onto him. Amen. He got a little bit. I'm gonna put you. You still gonna be like a slave and a servant, but I'm gonna make you the head of all. And what God made me aware of is that we gotta also look at Joseph, because even in the midst of this, I don't hear Joseph complaining. I don't hear Joseph speaking. What he's seeing, and this is not right. There's something about Joseph that he had to walk and have certain attributes and characteristics and a level of excellence so that he reflects God, so that they can see God even more. Come on, somebody. Are we reflecting? Who are you reflecting? What truth are you reflecting? Are we reflecting God? Reflecting God means that, you know what, I see what's going on, and God, I'm feeling it, but where I'm going to talk about it is I'm going to talk about it to you on my knees in my prayers, and I'm going to ask you to give me the truth so that in the face of the situation that I'm seeing, I'm going to speak to life, and I'm going to speak your truth, and I'm going to believe what you're saying, and it may be a process, but I'm going to keep coming to you, and I'm going to keep coming to you. But I won't complain. I'm going to be grateful, and I'm going to give thanks in all things. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. I'm going to give thanks even when it doesn't make sense. You know, sometimes you can get comfortable not in your purpose. You can get comfortable in lack. Right, he's like, okay, well, I'm just kind of at a good place. Like, you know, everything's fine. I'm not really, but God will come in and breathe and shake things up because he's like, no, it's time to go. No, we have stuff to do. No, we got business to handle. Amen. But check this out. Let's look to see how God shook, ficky, 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 how he shook things up, or how he even allowed it to be shaken up. Remember, we got to be, let's be discerning and wise and sensitive to the moves of the Holy Spirit when God is moving in the shadows. God is moving in that little quiet place. It says, now Joseph was handsome and good looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house. and he has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I, listen to what Joseph says, how then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not even against Potiphar. No, he said against God. See, that just goes to show, I think that Joseph is in that place of seeing God always, walking with God always, trusting God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. You gotta swim through that, swim through the dirty and the sticky and the And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her. God put on my spirit that this, what does this look like? Or what are some possible ways this looks like us for, looks like to us today? And it could be outside influences, amen. It could be you speaking in faith what God showed you, amen. And then people are like, no, I don't think that can happen now, no. Now, and trying to strip you of your faith and strip you of going into greater. It could be, come over here, do this and get distracted. That's what it is. It could be distractors. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing us to get distracted. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Spiritually, not allowing us to get distracted. The enemy wants us to get caught up on the things that's coming through our natural senses. But let us remain steadfast in our faith, knowing that God is able. I may not be able, hallelujah, but God is able. So she's persistent with trying to get him to lie with her. And then one day he comes in and she takes hold of his garment and she uses that as proof, hallelujah, somebody, to basically lie on him and get him now cast into prison, into the dungeon. But his name means add. God will add. God, you said you will add. God, you said you will increase. But they look like they winning. Now I'm getting cast into prison. Now I'm getting cast into the dungeon for something that I did not do, but trying to be right. Trying to do right. I'm doing right before you. And she strips him of his garment, amen, and uses that as his ticket to be put in prison. But remember, I said God moves in the shadow, and God is divinely positioning, amen. And Joseph is being divinely positioned, amen, for the will of God. Joseph is being divinely positioned, amen, but it does not look like it, and it is not fair. Come on. And it is the very opposite in the natural. The way God moves is not the way that we would choose to move. It's not the way that we would choose to go. The children of Israel went through the wilderness, amen, a longer way. The Bible says that the way they went, it was like longer. It took 11 days to go the route that God took them. But God said this route, because you're not ready. And on this route, I'm going to get you ready. And on this route that he's taking Joseph, that although on the natural, this is not good, God is getting him ready. God is getting him ready. God is getting you ready, even if in refining your talents and refining our gifts and our spiritual giftings, even when we don't even feel like it, that is happening. And even when we feel like it's the opposite of, and we feel further away from, God knows what he is doing. Amen. And what do you mean God knows what he's doing, and God is divinely positioned and he's moving even in the midst of all this? Because when he goes to prison, amen, in prison is where a divine connection happens with the cupbearer and the chief baker from the castle, from Pharaoh. Amen. And what do you mean that God is refining and growing us even when we don't realize it and it doesn't feel like it? Because in the beginning, we read how Joseph had a dream. And Joseph had a dream and he told it. He told it to his brothers and then he told it to his father, but he didn't interpret the dream. He just told them. He didn't know what it meant. Amen. His father, Jacob, he considered it. Amen. He wasn't so quick to just cast it away and to rebuke it and just be like, oh, whatever. But the Bible says that it stayed with him. He considered it. Now in chapter 40, we see Joseph again. Going into prison, again, the Lord with him, again, him having success in the midst of prison, he's now the head over, the captain of the guard puts him in charge, he's walking in excellence even when he's done wrong by man, he's walking in excellence with the Lord. That, like, we got to digest that, because we allow people in the wrongdoings that come from men to change our countenance. They shouldn't have that much power over us. They shouldn't have that much power over us. We allow things and circumstances and situations, although it's easy for that to happen. I'm not saying I'm not immune to it either. But I fix myself to be like, nah, God, show me who I am and who you see, and let me walk in that truth. Because as I walk in that truth will manifest. Amen. As I walk in that, it will manifest. So now he's divinely positioned in prison. Really? In prison? Divinely positioned? Yes. You don't know which way your blessing is coming from, how it's coming. Amen. And God knows exactly where you are, no matter how down you feel. No matter how down you are. So one night they both, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, they have dreams, and the dreams trouble them. And Joseph, amen, walking with the Lord and walking in the blessing of the Lord and the favor of the Lord, he sees them and that they are troubled, even though he is could be troubled by being wrongfully accused and convicted, right? Hello? But yeah, he sees them in their trouble. He's being a blessing to them. And he asks them, why are they troubled? Why are your faces downcast today? And so they said to him in verse 8 of chapter 40, that we have had dreams and there is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. So look, we're seeing how Joseph is walking now more in his purpose, and he's closer to being ready than ever before. Because again, in the beginning, he didn't know how to interpret the dream that he had, but now he's able to interpret others' dreams. Come on, I want to grow spiritually in my spiritual giftings, amen. That I'm in a place of I'm experiencing God in a supernaturally and miraculously, and hearing God even in the midst of all the noise of the world. Oh, okay, hello? So he tells them, he interprets their dreams, and it comes true. It comes true. As a matter of fact, it comes true 3 days later, yet his dreams still have not manifest. Come on, somebody say this is manifestation season. This is a season of a God, of the words spoken to me and over me, and what God has shown me manifesting. Amen. Hallelujah. So they manifest. But when he interprets, he tells the cupbearer, he says, remember me. When it is well with you, please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, so get me out of this place. So now we see Joseph's humanness. Amen. He's very much aware of the subtractions that are happening in his life. He's very much aware of the wrongfulness that's happening, yet he does not allow that to stop him from honoring God and in walking before the Lord excellently. Come on. So 2 years later, their dreams, listen, you being a blessing and praying with other people, and they getting, their prayers are being answered, and yet my prayers, I'm still waiting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 2 years later, he goes out, the cupbearer goes out, and he forgets. Quote unquote, he forgets. Does he forget, or does God just kind of block that out because God's like, nobody is getting the glory for what I'm doing in your life? Amen. So does it look like, oh, I had the hookup over there and I thought it was going to go down like this? And it was like, and is it God like, went ahead and interrupted all that because he's like, ain't nobody going to get the glory for what I'm doing in your life? Ain't nobody. Ain't nobody. But for ain't nobody to get the glory, we don't like that path, right? He had to wait another 2 years. And then God gives Pharaoh a dream. Matter of fact, he gives him two dreams. And nobody in all of Egypt was able, not any of the magicians, no one was able, no wise men, was able to interpret this dream. And then the cupbearer says, I remember my faults today. When I read that, I remember my faults today, I'm reminded that in the Bible, when you read the Bible, it talks about God remembering his people. And what happens when God remembers? When God remembers us, barren rooms are open. Oh, yes, this is so, even with Joseph's mother. Come on, let's go back. Okay. Guys, I don't have enough time. Even with Joseph's mother, he says, then God remembered Rachel and God heeded her and opened her womb. God remembered Rachel, amen, in miracles. So what happens when God remembers? Miracles happen. When God remembers, the impossible is now possible. When God remembers, a whole nation is delivered. You're delivered from bondage. When God remembers, amen, promotion. When God remembers us, amen, supernatural. So Joseph is called to the palace. He's called to the palace. Pharaoh, this is the fast version because we only got a couple more minutes. Oh, shut up. Okay, he goes to the palace. He gets cleaned up. Come on, somebody said, get ready. Somebody said, get ready. Somebody said, get ready. He goes to the palace. He goes before Pharaoh. He over dreams. Amen. And he said, and basically Joseph says, no, it's not me, but God. There you go. Always talking about God. Yes, I'm always talking about. Be like, you always talking about. Yes, it's God. It's not me. Come on, somebody say, it's not me, it's God. He said, God can interpret. What's the dream? He tells him the dream. He interprets the dream. Come on, somebody. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Joseph's ready. Joseph's ready. He interprets the dream. He says, basically, you're going to have 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. So this is what you need to do. The Bible says that Joseph was wise and discerning. Can we be wise and discerning in this hour, in this season? We got to be wise and discerning even to identify God moves. Amen. Because God moves to the naked eye don't look like any move. Right? Hello? Look like embarrassing moves. Come on, somebody. Come on. Remember what we read something about Joseph being stripped of his garments and Joseph being stripped of his garment with his brothers and then with the wife. Amen. But now notice that as Joseph is in position, God told me something. They were stripped. One of the reasons why those roles were taken up because God's saying, okay, now it's time for the next thing. I'm not allowing you to get comfortable. No more wearing this robe of being the overseer in the house of Potiphar. I got more for you. I got something greater for you. Amen. Sometimes that blessing will come in being fired. And sometimes that blessing will come in being in disguise as bad news. But we got to be wise and discerning to know that this is God. That God rising down and saying that God is exalting. But in this way that he's exalting, he's not letting any man nor me get the glory. Shut up. So look. He goes, and Pharaoh says, You're the one. You're the one that's going to do this. You're the one that's going to oversee. I'm going to put you in charge and right under me. Right? And look at how he was arrayed. Look how God added unto Joseph. Look how God increased Joseph. And Pharaoh put on Joseph's hand. He arrayed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the chariot of his second in command. Thus he sent him over all the land of Egypt. Now, Joseph goes literally from the dungeon to being second in command over all of Egypt. What type of success? As we close, I just want to highlight a couple of things. And in Genesis 50 and 20, now when he's in the manifestation, now he's in the manifestation of that blessing. Amen. And in Genesis, the dream that God gave him back in Genesis 37, when he was with his brothers and he was with his family. In Genesis 50 and 20, now he's back reunited with his brothers. And he tells his brothers, you intended to harm me. Amen. But God intended it all for good. He brought me. God brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. It's bigger than, amen. It's bigger than us having wealth. It's bigger than us. God can imagine, and God wants to do a supernatural success. We see success every day and hear about success every day that makes sense. Well, I want to tell you that God wants to do success that don't make sense. Amen. God is ready to wake up this nation in this world. Amen. With him moving in a way where that just does not make sense. When the last time you heard a success a story and reporting God move in such a way where that don't make sense, that don't line up, that don't add up. Exactly. It don't add up. However could you go from being in a dungeon to be even considered? This is your time. This is your season. This is time for manifestation. not naturally, but supernaturally in a way that don't make sense. Amen. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift his countenance towards you, and give you his peace. Yaverekeka Adonai v'shmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav l'cha, v'iko neka yisa Adonai p'nav l'cha, v'yasim l'cha shalom. God bless you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Miracles, signs, and wonders in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen.
You're listening to Thank You, Jesus, with Mika, only on LA Talk Radio.